Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday that feels like a Friday, but it's not a Friday. But we're getting so close. I can't even complain.
We're so close. We're this close, y'all. And not only is it Thursday, we are over the hump, but the hump himself is here, bringing smiles and cheer wherever he is near.
Theo is joined with us in studio today. He could not be here yesterday because I had to record my audiobook for 5 hours after the show yesterday. And it was hard. You know, the first session, I was like breezing through it. Like I was just like, my mouth was connected with my brain. Mm-hmm. And last session, I was like, everyone was like, what happened to this girl? So it's okay. We're making progress. Pre-order is available at girlwithnojob.com/book. Audio book, ebook, and print hardcover, whatever they call it, is available. So check it out.
5 hours?
Uh-huh.
I've been sitting on that joke since you said it. Legally Blonde stands, you know what's
up? Oh, in the hot tub.
5 hours.
Got it. You might notice that Jackie and I are matching today because we are debuting another piece of merch. This is a brand new holiday design, our Toasty and Bright sweatshirt. Jackie is wearing the black crew neck in a size
medium.
And I am wearing a new color, a maroon, which I'm living for, hoodie in the size extra large. And also our Toasty and Bright holiday design also comes in phone cases. If I could get a close up on my camera, this fabulous sleek phone case.
I love that phone case. That's the phone case I used last week.
And a mug, because, you know, I'm just feeling thirsty and we've got lots of tea to sip today.
And I also feel like it's going to be a little more challenging than usual to get into the holiday spirit this season. But with all of these merch and accessories, like, you'll be feeling toasty and bright throughout the season.
Look at
and
me.
You know what?
Jackie, look at me.
I'm going to start a petition to keep like the holiday fever going like through March, because we shouldn't be like suffering through January through March like without that wintry spirit.
The thing is that like the depression after like January 1st is so real, because you just come off of like the Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa hype. And that hype is like this immaculate vibe. It's not even like, it's not tangible how you feel during the holiday season. It's like
there's
that
just
mood.
Like a little sparkle fairy dust set over these 2 months.
And even if we all collectively decided to like keep that vibe till March, like you can't just like create the vibe. What's so special about it is like, you know that the holiday season is like once a year and it comes and goes so fast. And that's what makes it so immaculate.
I agree. But because this year is unlike any year we've ever experienced before, I think we can change some things up. Things that you never would have changed.
I'm so here for the optimism. I'm just trying to like lay the groundwork for reality, unfortunately.
Okay, well, reality doesn't need to set in for a while. Merch drops tomorrow, you guys. We have all these items we've been wearing. We have other stuff like that we'll post on our Instagram we're gonna wear tomorrow, like some super holiday Christmassy vibe, also just like super Morning Toast vibe. I was wearing this new sweatsuit that we made that—
Oh, I was wearing it last night too.
Yeah, I wore it all day yesterday. I think officially it's my favorite piece of merch.
Oh my God, okay.
I just like don't want to throw that out there so lightly.
I think the RDH sweatshirt is my favorite piece of merch just because it's a new color, yellow, which I love. And RDH is just like a, you know, a cause that's really close to my heart.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful sweatshirt. You guys will see all of the designs. We'll post them on our Instagram so you can shop tomorrow.
ShopMorningToast.com, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Maybe set an alarm because there is limited inventory. We wanted everyone to be able to get their items immediately. Immediately. So check it out. ShopMorningToast.com.
And in case you forgot like when it's dropping, let me hit you with a song. Tomorrow, hey, I love you.
Tomorrow,
you're only a day away.
Not tomorrow.
Shut the fuck up.
What do you like my audition?
You're throwing me off.
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
Like, it was good, but I need you to lay it in over I finish my vocals. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I don't understand someone, like, not being able to juggle multiple vocal abilities, so I'm sorry. It's just taking me a long
time. Tomorrow, oh. I love ya. Tomorrow, you're only a day away.
Oh, you. Did you hear what I was doing?
I was trying to tune out A-E-I-O-U.
Instead of being like A, O, oh. I was like A-E-I-O-U.
That's a great song.
That's such a good Ted reference. I love Ted so much.
I love Ted. I was just talking with someone this weekend about how Ted is just a fantastic movie. Add it to the list of content uppers.
One and two.
No, I was about to say, make sure you do not add two, because two does not work on the basic premise that Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis were OTP in the first movie. Like, there was no reason...
That they could have been broken up.
Like, honestly, unless she died, they should have killed her off.
Yeah.
Because to see him be like OTP with another woman, it's like we all remember
what happened.
The beauty of that relationship.
That was weird. You're right.
So I can't support Ted 2 on those grounds.
What of all the we have so many like Ted jokes that are like ingrained in our DNA because we've been saying them for so long. What do you think is your favorite Ted joke?
I went to New York once in 1989 and I did not feel safe.
I feel like yours is Fresh Cakes.
Oh my God. Fresh Cakes is such a big part of my life. Every time we change our sheets, we call them Fresh Cakes. And like everything
like urinal cakes.
Everything is Fresh Cakes.
I think my favorite Ted joke is...
I married the wrong woman and now I lead a life of regret.
No, it's... are you alone? Well, you know, one's never alone when you're with Christ. So if you haven't seen Ted, by the way... Get on that. And maybe watch Ted 2. There is one redeeming moment in Ted 2 when Ted does the voiceover to the Law and Order theme song.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, we're a bunch of assholes who take up the entire hallway with our walk. Like, it's so funny. And actually, you know, a friend of mine has Ted.
Original?
Original bear Ted that he got. Isn't that crazy? I've seen Ted.
And you haven't stolen it because...
No, I know. It's like, it's not really that important to him. But like, every time I'm over at his house, I'm like... I don't know if you know, like, what this bear means to me.
No, like...
Like, if my friend loves me, he'll give me Ted for my birthday.
I love... That's so true.
I know.
And I feel like in this very special way, Theo is named after Ted.
100%.
Teddy, Theodore. 100%. Theodora. 100%. Theodora.
Theodora. You know, we have a lot of TikTok drama to discuss today, and we were actually, like, talking about it before the cameras went up. And it's really interesting, but there is like another TikTok saga that's taking over my life and I need to fill you in on it because I feel like you don't know.
What?
Number 7?
No.
Okay.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
So there is this video that went viral and it's just so funny. And we were talking about this literally last week, how there hasn't been like a genuine, like organic viral moment in so long, like Alex from Target. And
Ocean Spray. Alex from Target is like, what's the word? Small change next to like what an actual viral moment.
No, but
is.
What I meant is like Alex from Target was the most random, seemingly like mundane piece of content that happened to go viral. Like the Ocean Spray Dreams video was like funny and like it's not mysterious why it went viral.
Okay,
but it's like those seemingly like nothing moments that go viral, like Damn Daniel, like people couldn't believe how big it became. That's what's happening on TikTok right now. There's this football team based in Michigan, and I don't know the high school or whatever. And I guess they, like, won a game, and their videographer filmed them after the game in the locker room doing their, like, post-show ritual. And I guess, like, the team is obsessed with the song Eenie Meenie by Sean Kingston and Justin Bieber.
It's a really fucking good song.
Eenie Meenie Miney. And there's just this moment leading up to the chorus where, like, these guys, still in their football gear, are, like, singing the song, and there's like one number 7 who's like really the star of the video, and he's like so handsome, and I feel weird because he's like literally 16 years old, and they just like vibe so hard to the song. And it was just this clip that went viral, and this kid, people know everything about him already. His name is Caden. He's committed to Harvard for football. He's like really, really good at football. He's up for like Michigan Football Player of the Year. He has a girlfriend, people have found out. And he made a TikTok last night. Like, he didn't even have a TikTok account. He made a TikTok account, like, has a million followers already, and, like, recreated the video with his friends on the tennis court. And it got, like, 15 million views. And I'm just, like, obsessed with this saga because I love the reason that this video went viral. For no other reason than the fact that, like, these guys were just, like, vibing.
Yeah, I got to see the original video.
You do. I'll send it to you. It's just such, like, an interesting saga to follow.
Cool. I wouldn't call that TikTok drama, though.
No, I didn't say drama, did I?
I feel like you did. You said we
I feel like you remember like a little too much, you know? You're always just fucking like remembering things.
No, because honestly,
things.
I was waiting for like the dramatic part because I think it was framed like the TikTok drama we're going to report on today.
That's actual drama. No, it's just, I believe I used the word saga. Maybe you misheard me, but I just need you to stop like remembering things. It's really fucking annoying. And I just realized like if we were all superheroes, you would be like the rememberer.
That's funny. Claudia, that's funny.
It's annoying.
I mean, sorry, but you said it.
I don't think that's true.
I feel
true.
Like Bronwyn. Like, I want to apologize, but like you said it.
Did you just call me Shannon?
I did. I mean, she totally said it.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that Shannon said it.
Speaking of, we're going to recap Orange County and Salt Lake City tonight. Salt Lake City is just really turning out to be something of the sort.
Something of the sort. Heather Gay was on Watch What Happens Live with Shannon Bedore, and it was just like an immaculate duo.
Oh, nice. I couldn't make it to Watch What Happens Live because my content plate ended at midnight last night.
Yeah.
I watched two more episodes of The Crown, maybe three.
Can you finish it
already? I'm going to finish it tonight. I think I have two more.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss it tomorrow. Does that work for you?
Yeah, but like my thoughts are gone. Like,
we'll bring them back. We'll resurrect the thoughts.
Okay. It's just like annoying. Like we had a plan, you know, like.
No, you went rogue. We said by the end of the week, and then you watch them in one night.
Sorry, they're just, like, so good.
I know. I'm just, like, my schedule hasn't been conducive
yeah,
to Salt binge watching.
Salt Lake City is really, really good. Wish we could say the same about Orange County. We have some things to discuss about the programming situation on the Morning Toast, and we'll discuss it in the TV recap segment, which is after the Fast Five.
Yeah, so I think without further ado, we could get right into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And by the way, I know that tomorrow, like, our RDH sweaters are going to go fly off the shelves. So in case you feel RDH about it not getting the RDH sweater, stick with me here.
I'm here. I'm with you. By your side.
I have the cure for your potential future RDH.
Take us there, Claude.
Today's episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Flu season is right around the corner and the winter months approaching. It is more important than ever to have a strong immune system. When you're pushing your body hard or feeling run down, it's really important to take care of yourself with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created the Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support to maintain and strengthen your immune system. Having good immunity as like you grow up and like you become an adult and like everything hurts is really, you realize, the most important thing. So if you could take something every day from Liquid IV that boosts your immunity, why wouldn't you? It's a cutting edge blend of vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, Wellmune, and they come in convenient single-serve packets. Vitamin C is well-known to protect your body and support good health. Vitamin D facilitates immune system function and improves your daily defense. Each packet is bursting with fresh, natural tangerine flavor. It tastes so good. I've been putting them in my water almost every morning for the last 2 weeks, and I definitely find myself waking up feeling better. So if there's just, like, one thing you could do, just, like, put it in your water, like, to make you feel better, boost your immunity, like, why wouldn't you do that?
Totally.
When you purchase Liquid IV, you're also joining the mission to help people live better lives. With every purchase, Liquid IV donates a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. They are donating 3.7 million servings in response to COVID-19. Their products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. So you could buy from Liquid IV knowing you're going to feel good physically and emotionally because you're helping out. Liquid IV's new Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support is available at Walmart or online. If you want to get 25% off online, go to liquidiv.com and use the promo code TOAST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order from their website at liquidiv.com. When you use the promo code TOAST, get better hydration at liquidiv.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Sign on, feel good physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
First story, the aforementioned TikTok drama. TikTok stars Charli and Dixie D'Amelio are in a little bit of hot water. So Charli and Dixie are facing fierce backlash for their, quote, appalling table manners and rude treatment of their personal chef after they made faces and gagging noises as they ate a meal he had prepared, with one of them even dramatically running outside to throw up. In the debut video for their new Dinner with the D'Amelio series that is being featured on their recently launched YouTube family channel, the TikTok stars sat down with their parents, Mark and Heidi, and their first mystery guest, who was YouTube star and beauty influencer James Charles. The episode has been trending on YouTube since it was shared on Monday, but many people were less than impressed by what they saw. Critics have been taking to the comments to call out Charli, who is 16, and Dixie, who is 19, for their behavior, with many insisting that James Charles was the only one with any table manners.
I actually agree.
People are calling them brats, they're calling them rude, quote, disgusting, and they're in a bit of hot water.
Well, what I find really interesting, and I think what I've learned spending so much time on TikTok with like the Gen Z community, is that Gen Z is very pro cancel culture. Like, and I think it's because they're like super young and don't like have enough experience in life to understand like giving people grace and like forgiveness. And honestly, I feel like maybe I was that way too when I was younger. So it's weird. This is just a fascinating situation for me as someone who's like obsessed with just like the culture around cancel culture, because I I watched the video and their behavior was bad. Like, you can't deny it. Like, they were acting like rats and just like rude in front of a person who cooked you a meal. Like, why don't you talk shit about the food, like behind everyone, behind his back, like, you know, like normal people. But it was very like subtle almost. And I just find it interesting that so much like Gen Z really picked up on this. I feel like when people get canceled in this day and age, it's like really overt. Like, they said something really bad. But I found their behavior to be bad, but like, I'm shocked like so many people picked up on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I watched some of the clips that you showed me, and honestly, they're acting like children because they are children, and this is what happens when children become
famous.
Dinner.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to be canceled over this. I think that there's like backlash, and we saw that Dixie put out a video trying to explain the context of the situation, saying that it was taken out of context because everyone knows that like she gets very turned off by a lot of foods. They intentionally like put snails in front of her, and like the chef was in on it. And that's why she went and threw up. Apparently, like, everything makes her throw up. That wasn't a part of the video, that sort of context. And they are the ones who put out the video. So, like, if it doesn't work without that bit of information, you could have added that. It wasn't like they were caught on camera.
Right. So, like, I thought at first the video was on James Charles's channel, which made sense. Like, the D'Amelio family didn't have, like, you know, final cut on the edit.
And he wouldn't have been prioritizing how they look.
Right. You know? It would be himself. But then when I came to find... When I actually ended up going to their channel, finding the video and like watching the first few minutes. And the whole thing to me, like I found the parents' behavior to be also kind of weird, because if you're acting that way in front of guests and camera, like that's because you act that way at home and like you're not reprimanded for it like as a child. So it's just a weird, they're not bad people by any means. It was just like a really bad look, which everyone has. And that's just a part of being famous, especially when you became famous virtually overnight. But the timing is just not great, because Charlie was like hours away from reaching 100 million followers. She was at 99.5 and now she's at 98.9. So this is like a significant thing going on.
Yeah, but I'm sure she'll just reach 100 in like two days instead of one day.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that people picked up on it, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, I don't think it's a huge deal. And you have to remember like that these are
kids,
like, Charlie is literally 16. Like, how are you behaving when you were 16? Especially if they, like, you could make the argument, oh, they behave this way on camera. What are they like when the cameras aren't there? Mm-hmm. Or you can make the argument, like, there were cameras there, so they were putting on... They thought that this was, like, a funny bit. You know, we're going to, like, vomit at the snails. And
right.
This chef, Dixie, had said, like, they've been working with him for months, and he's, like, a close family friend, that she knew his feelings wouldn't be hurt. Like,
right.
You know, I just...
Yeah, we must keep in mind that these are children whose lives have dramatically changed in the last year. They're literally living in a mansion in LA with a personal chef now, when they were just living, you know, in the suburbs of Connecticut last year. So, like, let's give them a little grace. But I do find it interesting that their parents are so involved in their business, like, professionally, almost to a point that's, like, kind of weird. Like, but even with their parents being so, like, heavy-handed, no one foresaw this, like, maybe not making them look good. Like, how many people have watched this video before it went to their channel?
Yeah.
And, like, nobody thought...
Oh, the girls, like, don't come off right here.
And the parents, as far as I know, have been so involved in their girls' careers, like, making TikToks for themselves and making a family YouTube channel to look out for the girls, because the girls are 16 and 19 and are now, like, some of the biggest stars in the world. So if you're really doing all that to look out for them, how did this go?
Yeah. And it's also interesting when people get famous from, like, Instagram or TikTok, where it's like 15 second clips or even a minute clips, you really don't get a sense of someone's personality. None. But then sometimes people venture into, say, podcasting or launching YouTube. A YouTube channel, and it's like how that translates to a longer form. Sometimes 15 seconds is enough.
It's more than enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I'll be interested to see how this plays out. Gen Z can be really rough. So let's just remember that they're children.
Yeah. Okay, next up, we have some real estate news. Two stories that I think you might find interesting. Celeb real estate news.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Real estate? Okay, Douglas Elliman.
First up, the Kardashian family's fake reality TV home, which we spoke about this week, is on sale for $7.99 million.
I saw this.
The house that is always showed as, quote, Chris's house.
It's like tan brownish.
Yes, although she's never actually lived there. I think it was on sale a few years ago, too, because I remember it coming on the market, and now it's on the market again for $7.9 million. It's a beautiful home. If anybody wants to buy it and invite us over, we would love to come.
I actually wonder if the Kardashians, like, using this house and promoting it so much increases or decreases the value of a home.
I think increases, because if you think, you would think maybe decreases because it's like
security,
so visible, blah blah blah, but like think of like famous TV homes, like the Full House home, like that.
Yeah.
Home, if it was ever, I think it's like a I think it's almost like a landmark now.
Yeah, no, it's like an Airbnb or something.
Right. If that were to ever go for sale, like, it would be worth so much.
Like the Brady home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think ultimately it's in the plus column.
Okay.
So I just thought that was some interesting real estate news.
That is.
With another real estate celebrity news story, which I just saw that I thought was interesting. Star Wars actress Billy Lord is combining her mother.
Billy Lord's in Star Wars?
Yeah, apparently.
I think they mean Scream Queens.
I do think that they mean that too. They obviously just got their wires crossed. Is combining her mother Carrie Fisher's home and her grandmother Debbie Reynolds Hollywood properties together to create an $18 million mega estate following the birth of her son. So first of all, I didn't know that
they live next to each
mom
other.
Mom and daughter live next to each other.
So cute.
Billy's bringing them together. I think this is just like some big wig news.
Wow, look at Billy just like making moves, making estates.
I wonder if she's going to put them together and then sell or live there. It seems like a lot of land for a lot of house for one woman.
For three people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like you can never have enough land.
I feel that way too.
But this would be like a good business venture for her. But I'm not sure she wants to sell her grandparents and parents' home.
I don't know. Sometimes it's too painful.
That's true. But I feel like homes are, if you have enough money to like restore like your childhood home, your grandparents' home, like make it into a palace, like you would never sell that, you know?
Yeah, it is a dream.
It's a dream.
So it'll be interesting to see what she does, but.
That's really cool. I like that idea a lot. Like yeah. That's definitely something I would do if I had two estates that just happened to be next to each other.
If you inherited two estates that share land border.
Well, do they say what part of town it's in?
Beverly Hills.
Ooh, she.
Sweet.
That is exciting. The truckers for Tayshia are here. The truckers for Billy.
Truckers for Billy. We love them. Okay, next story, a little royal news. I'll let you get your crown fixed. Because okay. Meghan Markle admits giving personal information to the Finding Freedom authors.
Duh. Like, oh my God, I read literally two chapters of this book.
You sound like Billie Eilish.
Duh. Doo-doo. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, it's like no shit, Sherlock. I read two chapters. It was literal propaganda.
Yeah. Meghan Markle has reportedly admitted to giving personal information to the authors of Finding Freedom, the tell-all book that details her and Prince Harry's exit from the British royal family. Markle spilled her own tea to the authors in order to ensure her side of the story was included, The Telegraph reported on Wednesday. According to the docs lodged with the High Court, Markle revealed that she was worried her father's narrative about her, including that she had allegedly abandoned him, might be included in the book. Therefore, she presented her own version of events to a source to pass along so the true position could be communicated to the authors to prevent any further misrepresentation.
Whoever is working on Meghan Markle's PR team is like so meticulous. It's like, yes, she did this, but here's a full strategy as to why she did it, because the father, of course, no one really takes her dad's claims seriously. He's like fodder for the back page of the Daily Mail. Like, nobody really cares. And I don't think it's a big deal that Meghan Markle gave her side of the story to the autobiographers, because it makes it helpful. Like, it's, but it is against the rules.
Yeah. And I feel like also either it's an official story or it's an unofficial, you know, fans
right.
retelling.
Fan fiction.
And then when it's like, okay, so she shared information about her dad to clear up any misinformation, then it's like, okay, but did she share anything else? Like, now it's like they were on email.
The door's
open. It makes
you
question like what else she gave her opinion on.
Yeah. What episode of The Crown are you up to?
So I just finished an episode where the Margaret Thatcher Queen 48 against one in the Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth.
And South Africa.
This is a dumb question. And like, okay. Really, I'm embarrassed to ask. Is the Commonwealth still like a group?
It's a great question. And okay. I believe that it is.
Okay.
And
it's such a nice idea.
Yeah, it is a nice idea.
Okay. Did you get to the episode yet where the Queen gives a statement? On, oh, that's the episode.
Yes, and it reminds me of this episode where, like, the Queen doesn't speak, but she spoke, you know?
Right. Do you think that the Crown obviously took, like, a hard side here, saying, like, they believed the Queen did release the statement and it wasn't, like, some rogue publicist. Do you believe that?
I'm inclined to believe the Crown, you know?
I'm, like, finished the season and I'm, like, less and less inclined to believe them. They took, like, a very...
The show. That's what I mean when I say believe the Crown. Like, I was believing the show.
No, so was I. But I feel like this season, for the first time, especially towards the end, like, I feel like they were more... They took more freedom with, like, their narrative. And were kind of making the Crown look bad,
like,
in a lot of
sides.
Ways. Taking sides. They, like, when it comes to the Diana stuff, they unequivocally took Diana's side. I'm actually going to watch Royal House of Windsor because someone recommended it to me as, like, the most accurate retelling of what went down between Charles and Diana. They say Diana in her words. Well, of course, that's going to be Diana's side. So I want to watch something impartial, and I feel like I never can get anything impartial. Like, I just know that there's more to it than, like, him being in love with Camilla. Like, I just know it.
Yeah, and even in the lead-up, like, that conversation where Diana goes to the queen and, like, is giving her a hug and calling her mama and just saying, like, just wants to be loved.
That didn't happen.
I just feel like I could see it leading up to them taking Diana's side.
Yeah, and they're not even making the crown look bad, but more so Charles. Which 100% like Charles's fault no matter what, like you can't, but I just felt like in so many different instances, and especially in an episode coming up about like extended members of the royal family, I really feel like they're like trying to make the crown look bad, the monarchy look bad this season.
But that, I think I watched Royal House of Windsor because I remember after watching The Crown I just wanted like more and more, and I think it was in there where they said it was Charles, and we're seeing this now, who trimmed the royal family down to just like the nucleus and just the people in the line of succession. Like,
well, that's good because there's so many people, and literally so many episodes are like Margaret not knowing what to do with her life, Anne not knowing what to do with her life, and like honestly, when, oh, you didn't get there, but they call Charles calls Prince Andrew fringe on his wedding
day. I got there,
and it's so true, and it's like you don't matter like at all.
Yeah, but you do, like you're still being watched, right? But you can't do anything, but like I don't know, I just, even with Margaret, when she's like, give me stuff to do. Like, I feel like there's always things to do. Like, go cut a ribbon at a school opening or something.
No, Margaret was like, I want work. Like, there's so much shit to do. Like, galas, state dinners. Like, you could do it.
Yeah, or and the boring stuff, too.
Yeah. Also, what I thought was interesting. Wait, no. Oh, James Hewitt.
I didn't get there yet.
Do you think he's Harry's dad?
I mean, I've only seen, like the pictures. Conspiracy theories and the pictures. I haven't met him in the show yet.
I think it's, like, very, very possible that Harry is his son, and that's why like the queen is like, aren't you and Meghan want to go live in Toronto? Like, bye, you're not even a part of it. Like, he's not technically, he doesn't have the royal blood. He has Diana's blood, but no royal blood.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Like, that conspiracy theory, whatever you want to call it, just would answer, it would just make so much sense for a million different reasons.
Got it. Also, I finished the episode with the cousins.
Oh, so that's what I was talking about, extended members of the royal family. That was awful.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about, like, Margaret and Andrew.
No, I didn't want to, like, spoil anything.
Yeah, no, that was awful.
Awful. So I just really feel like a lot of the episodes were set out to make the crown look bad this season, and I never felt that way before.
Yeah, that's what I was saying the last time. It's like, I'm not watching through the queen's lens. I'm watching, like, the queen through an outsider.
It's a different perspective.
It's a different perspective. And even her, like, beef with Margaret Thatcher. Yeah. I don't know where they end up, but it's like, I don't know how to feel.
Yeah. And I watched an interview of the woman who played Diana, and she was like, it's really important that everyone remembers, like, this is, like, a fictionalized script. There's a narrative, like, because I guess a lot of people, they've gotten some backlash for, like, some of the Diana portrayals. I don't know what or how, because she was portrayed very well. And, like, on their press tour, like, they've been saying, like, remember, this is scripted. Like, it's based in truth, but it's still...
It's just a little frustrating because up until this point, it's really felt like it was... Yes, of course, it's
an scripted, accurate retelling of history.
Yeah, like, that there was no bias. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, that's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, like, whatever...
I would just, like, literally pay $1 billion to watch the royal family, just, like, the core members, watch The Crown and just, like, tell me what was true and not, you know?
Yeah.
I just, like, wish I was, like, I just, there's so much mystery.
A fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, next story, a little tree drama.
Oh, is it the tree drama brought to you by, what day is it?
Thursday boots.
Thursday
boots.
Gotta
get boots on Thursday.
Today is Thursday. You know what that means. Just in time for the start of boot season, we have received a few of the new releases from our friends at Thursday Boots. A quick reminder, if you don't remember Thursday Boots, they are the New York City-based startup brand that designs really, really comfortable, high-quality boots and sells them at the best direct-to-consumer prices. They handcraft their boots in the same North American and European facilities as brands that charge 2 to 4 times the price, but by cutting out the retail markups, they offer the highest quality boots and very accessible price points. And by the way, their shoes are so well-made, I feel like I get, like, so many cheap boots for the winter, and then by next winter, like, I can't use them. But I'm now going on my second winter winter with a pair of thigh-high boots from Thursday Boots, and they literally look amazing. Like, they're such high-quality boots. They have great styles. I also got a pair of little white booties with a heel because, like, that's what the kids are wearing now, and I, like, want it to be cool. So Thursday Boots is very cutting-edge, and it's, like, you're paying for the quality, and the quality is legit.
Legit.
If there ever was a year to invest in more comfortable boots, it's this year. If you want fast fashion or shoes that rarely will make it out of your closet, do not shop at Thursday Boots. Thursday Boots is an investment in comfort, timeless styles, and staples that will last for years. And they make great men's shoes because we saw a friend of ours over the weekend whose boyfriend used our code for Thursday Boots.
Yes.
You deserve more comfortable boots without the high retail markups.
Great gift for someone.
Yes. Because Thursday Boots is all about year-round, honest prices at the lowest sustainable markup possible. They never have sales or discounts, but they're giving our listeners free two-day shipping on their first order and always offer free returns and exchanges, so you have nothing to lose by trying out your first pair. Go to thursdayboots.com/toast and you can have a pair on your doorstep before next Thursday. They have amazing shipping. That's thursdayboots.com/toast for free two-day shipping plus free returns and exchanges.
Love it. Sign on, get your boots.
Now the tree drama. Spill.
The Rockefeller Center is defending its 2020 Christmas tree after commenters are poking fun at its sparse appearance.
I am team Rockefeller Center. People are annoying.
After making a two-day drive from Oneonta, New York, the 2020 Rockefeller Christmas tree finally arrived in New York City on Saturday. However, after sharing the joyous news on Instagram and posing for a few photos at its new home, the tree was met with some trolling over its sparse-looking branches. These are some of the comments the tree received. Quote, "This tree looks like it was dragged behind a truck by a chain, then through a fire and extinguished with sewer water." Someone said, "Think the tree has coronavirus." Someone said, "Looks like the ones you buy at the 99 cent store." A few other critics said the tree is the epitome of this past year. This tree looks like 2020.
Okay.
Then the tree responded on Instagram saying, "Wow, you almost look great right after a two-day drive."
They gave the tree a personality.
And the tree said, "Just wait until I get my lights on."
Yeah, no. By the way, literally every year when the tree shows up from, I think it's upstate New York,
it's sparse. It's donated from different farms.
It's sparsey vibes. Really donated Rockefeller? They can buy a tree. It's sparsey vibes always, but they give the tree like extensions and like bushels and lights. But like everyone like needs to just relax. Like it's not ready yet. And this happens every year. They're like, "Oh, this is 2020. I'm like, "No, it literally looked this way when it arrived in 2019, 2018, 2017. It's always sparsey vibes, but they make it nice.
Yeah, but I think like the fact that people are coming for this tree just shows like where we've ended up in 2020.
We're
like,
in such a dark place.
Coming for people, places, things.
Plants.
Tree.
Plants. People, places, and plants. It's terrible. It's a disgrace. Leave the fucking tree alone.
So hurtful. You guys, trees have feelings too.
No, and it's like, you know that like the person whose farm this is like so proud that it's like their tree that made it to Rockefeller Center and him and all the people at work or her.
You mean Paula Dick, who owns Daddy Al General Store in Oneonta?
So Paula and the gang like drove it down only to become like a meme. Like, leave her alone.
Justice for Paula.
Justice for Paula. Justice for Christmas Tree Farm where the people are warm. Wow, I can't believe it's been a year since that song came out. And now I get to like really enjoy the winter season. Wow. I totally forgot that like it's here, you know?
That's what I've been trying to tell
That's
you.
That's actually one of my favorite like original Christmas songs. Not just because it's Taylor
Swift. No, I completely agree.
It's a bop. It's like immaculate. You could break it down to that song. Like it has a beat and it's just lit.
I totally agree. Also, this saga reminds me of the Hallmark original film Miss Christmas. One of the best ones with the woman from Brooke D'Orsay. She's from Drop Dead Diva.
Oh, and she's love from Drop Royal Dead Diva. Pains. I can't believe you didn't like Drop Dead Diva.
I absolutely hated it. I can't even talk about it because I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Because it's literally a show that like really changed my life.
I know, and it was not it for me.
Speaking of Hallmark movies, Jonathan Bennett, aka Aaron Samuels from Mean Girls, is starring in a Hallmark movie.
Is it Hallmark or is it Lifetime? Or is it ION?
Well, it's a gay couple, so it's probably not Hallmark because they're... You know.
It might be. I saw the story too, but I just
wanted to see. I thought it was so exciting. Like gay couple.
It is exciting.
Let me double check.
Just confirm that it's Hallmark.
No, you're totally right. It's Lifetime.
Everyone's
I know it.
On the Hallmark grind. Like that movie, The Christmas Aunt, was actually a Lifetime movie, not a Hallmark movie.
Oh, it's Hallmark.
Oh, it's Hallmark.
Wow. Sorry. I didn't mean to speak ill of.
No, I'm sorry that I doubted Hallmark.
No, it's called. Yeah, it's the first LGBTQ plus Hallmark. I mean, girl, it's 2020. Like, that took a really long time. But it's happening, and it's wonderful. Halloween, yeah, that means Hallmark Channel released its 2020 slate of content, and one of them is called Christmas House.
Love it.
It's Jonathan Bennett's third Hallmark Channel original movie alongside Robert Buckley, Anna Ayora. Do you know any of these people? Treat Williams and Sharon Lawrence.
No, maybe if I saw a picture.
The film focuses on a gay couple looking to adopt their first child and airs on Sunday. Oh, it's out already. Oh, wait, no, November 22nd.
No, next, that's this Sunday.
Okay, I know what we're doing.
That's so exciting.
That is very exciting. And we have that new Hulu one with Kristen Stewart. So it's like the Christmases movies are just becoming more inclusive. I feel like for a while, like, nobody cared about, like, all the money and effort, like, Hallmark was putting into their movies.
Yeah, no, but it became, well, I think a lot of people were always watching the Hallmark. It was really the heart of Christmas. But now everyone's talking about it. So they've stepped up their game.
And it's become cool to be, like, an actor in them. Becca Tobin was in it.
Uh-huh. And again, competition, it's great for the consumer.
Great for the consumer. And I'm a consumer at heart.
Here's a fifth and final story about competition being a few years too late. Twitter has added a new disappearing tweet feature called Fleets,
guys,
where it's pretty much stories, like Snapchat stories or Instagram stories on Twitter. What is it, 5 years after this invention came out?
Did we learn nothing from, like, Facebook trying to give us stories? Like, it was so embarrassing for them. I think they actually got rid of it, like, didn't even mention it because it was such a failure. Like, this is honestly, like, I'm embarrassed for Twitter. Like, this is really embarrassing.
I'm so embarrassed. Like, not only is it embarrassing to copy something anytime you're going to copy, because it's like, okay, I didn't have the original thought, I copied. At least if you're going to copy, make it quick.
Yeah, no, it's like, this is literally, I've been on Snapchat since, like,
2010. Because I think I started.
No, like, way.
Yeah. Because, no, I'm sorry, 2014 when I graduated. My senior year of college.
Yeah. So it's like, this is so embarrassing. Like, I'm honestly, like, red in the face for Twitter. Like, this is a disgrace. And honestly, like, they should be ashamed of themselves. Like, truly.
Yeah. Like, nobody asked for this. I don't think anybody wants this. And I think it just is, like, deeply, deeply sad.
And, like, it's so problematic for so many reasons. Like, I can't even begin to explain to people, like, why this is such a bad idea.
Yeah. But Twitter Fleets, in case you needed to share your story to Twitter.
When I heard this, I went to our Twitter to, like, see if anyone was doing it, and there was one person, and I want you to guess who. I went to the Morning Toast
Kim?
Twitter. No. She might have put one up, but the first person I saw who was, like, for the majority of the morning was the only person who had one.
Pop Crave?
Nick Jonas.
Interesting.
It was embarrassing for him, too. Like, if you're a celebrity listening to this show, which I'm sure there's, you know, tons, don't embarrass yourself. Like, stay off of Fleet. Oh, and the name.
I actually kind of don't.
Fleet.
I don't hate the name because it's fleeting.
Fleet is a brand of enemas for your ass.
Fleet is a week. Fleet week.
Have you ever had an enema?
Yes.
I know you don't like to talk about it.
No, I have. Like, not in my adult life, but as a child, of course.
As a child. I've had one in my adult life. Most recently, maybe like 4 years ago.
I feel like you love an enema.
I
feel like you and Ben are just like, should we enema tonight?
Oh, my God.
Party.
I hate enemas. You want to know why? Because it's like, the 7 minutes you have to wait, you know, like the game 7 minutes in Heaven when you were a kid, like the 7 minutes that you wait for an enema to, like, marinate your duty is literally 7 minutes in hell. It is so painstakingly awful. Like, that's the worst part. And the relief at the end is great, but is it worth the 7 minutes in hell? I don't know.
Damn.
All right, TV recap. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City first, because I need the will to live, and I don't have...
But you're just like a nerd who dropped all of his books.
That is so mean. I'm looking for our Bruch ad. Of course, it's the one I dropped.
Oh, we could do it by heart at this point. Look at these bad boys' teeth. Bruch is just the tooth Bruch you need if you want to get your teeth in check.
All right. Bruch. The best electric toothbrush on the market. The best gift for someone this holiday season. We've been using them for months. They're so cute. We got the, like, millennial pastel Pliny pink one. Looks great on your counter.
If
has
you
a
wanna...
magnetic holder. Comes with extra travel heads. You could buy travel sets. It's just the most brilliant product.
If you want to cultivate a vibe in your bathroom, a Bruch is a great place to start, because it's a beautiful looking toothbrush.
It's so true.
Such great color. Such a clean look. And I think toothbrushes are some of, like, can be some of, like, the nastiest element of your bathroom.
But I
not,
couldn't agree
but
more.
But not with Bruch.
Like, bacteria shitholes.
Yeah.
Bruching is the best, because brushing your teeth is a chore, but bruching is fun. Brush cleans your teeth at 31,000 movements a minute. Manual toothbrushes tap out at just 300. Many electric toothbrushes are barely a step up from manual. Some of them that do a good job can cost over $200. Brush is delivering premier sonic wave technology without the markups that big electric toothbrushes tack on. So it's fabulous. It's everything of the sort. If you want to get 15% off for you, someone in your life who you think could use like an upgrade in the dental hygiene department, get 15% off your Brush when you use promo code toast at Brush.com. Brush is spelled B-R-U-U-S-H. So you can try it 90 days risk-free and get a 2-year warranty at Brush.com. Promo code toast for 15% off your order. It's really just trust us on this one, please.
Yeah. Also a great gift for someone if you are looking for gifts in the oral hygiene department.
Oh, I'm like, I lost all my cards.
Yeah, no, because you dropped them on the floor. You got it? Great.
Okay. Let's do Salt Lake City first because I honestly, like, I'm not ready to talk about the trash that is Orange County. And Salt Lake City is really turning out to be something wonderful.
Yeah, something wonderful. We have the cast is really great. Everyone is so different. Everyone brings something else to the table. I feel like the crux of last night's episode was Lisa.
Versus everyone.
Versus the cousins.
Yes. Oh,
and
I love the cousins.
I am loving the cousins.
Me too. I would say, like, right off the bat, Heather's one of my favorites, if not my favorite. And Lisa is really turning into one of my least favorites.
No, she quickly became, like, I feel like when I just watched the opening credits, I was like, oh, I'm going to like her.
Yeah, she's like the cutest. Like,
she's so cute. She has a tequila company. She seems like she would have like a sense of humor about her.
And she's like somewhere between, she's Mormon 2.0. So she's somewhere between like perfect Mormon, but also like drinks and parties.
Yeah, and I feel like I would have thought that we would gravitate towards her because she seems like the most New York. Like,
yes.
And no.
No, but I actually really like Meredith.
She's all right.
No, from the first episode, I'm like, oh, Meredith is like Fisa. But then I'm like, actually, no, Meredith is kind of cool. And yeah. I love that she just dropped that bomb on us that her and her husband are separated.
I know. It's like, it's episode 2, so I don't care that much about your personal life yet, but it is interesting. But it was weird that they were talking about it in a crowded restaurant, like on TV. I mean, we want the conversation for TV, but like maybe your living room?
Yeah, no, it's obvious that they have been filming for months, that they are not using any of that footage because they flash back to something that happened between Lisa and Whitney or whatever. Like, they have early footage, but they decided not to use it, which I actually kind of like because sometimes at the beginning of Housewives, when they just, like, throw a bunch of women together, like, it takes a minute to get going. But them just, like, starting 6 months in, I actually really enjoy. So I think that there was probably other footage of them talking about the separation, but they edited it to be like, oh, boop, we're separated.
Yeah. Which was interesting. I didn't see that coming so fast.
Yeah. At first, when Whitney was talking to Lisa, like, kind of, like, speaking negatively about the experience she had with her gift, I was like, Whitney, like, this is really not appropriate. Even if you didn't like the service that was donated to you, like, just be normal and talk shit, like, behind her back. Like, don't go up to her face and be like, the bartenders were drunk, they snuck in. Like, just, you asked for a free bar, and that's what you got. Like, I didn't appreciate that, but then, like, Lisa took it too far.
She did take it too far, but I thought that, well, okay, if those bartenders represent Lisa and her business, and Lisa gave Whitney a gift, and Whitney really was coming to her from, like, just, like, she was so grateful, but she was like, I just think you should know, like,
yeah, I don't think she was malicious.
I don't think she was malicious at all, just, like, saying, I think you should know, like, the bartenders you sent got drunk, and there was, like, broken glass, and they went through my bar, and, like, that's just something you should know, like, I think that Lisa didn't need to know that. What, like, yeah. If she uses them other times, what if it's a time when it's an actual, it's not a donated gift, someone paid for that service.
Right.
Like, I think Whitney was totally fine to tell her that. And the way that she reacted was so awful. And then she started saying, like, we could, like, she's trying to come for our liquor license. Like, what?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think Whitney came off in a malicious way. But I do also see how Lisa, like, definitely did not like, one, giving someone a gift and then, like, kind of getting a little slap in the face and doing it on camera to, like, make her business, like, look illegitimate. Like, if Whitney had sent
but
a text.
I wouldn't have thought, if Lisa handled it better, I wouldn't have thought that made her business look illegitimate. It would have just been like, oh, we've never used those bartenders before. Thank you. We'll never use them again. And I would have thought, oh, wow, that's a good business owner.
Well, at
takes
first.
Takes criticism.
At first, I was, like, feeling more sympathetic toward Lisa. But I know for sure that conversation that happened off camera, like, Lisa was being nasty, threatening to say she was a swinger, like, 100%.
Yeah.
And how interesting that, like, I guess modern day polygamy is, like, swinging in Utah. Sounds fabulous.
Yeah. it makes sense.
I feel bad for Whitney. Like, I feel like she just can't get out from, like, these rumors and, like, all what people think about her just because she, like, got married twice.
But like, I think that this is why the show is going to be really good for her. I really think that she seems like a real sweetheart.
So sweet.
I like that she seems really nice, but also will defend herself. Like, obviously, she doesn't seem super confrontational. And I felt like at the dinner table, she really didn't even want to be having that conversation with Lisa, but she also wasn't going to back down.
Yeah, no, her, she was hurt.
Right. And I like that from her. I'm a big fan of hers, and I like that her and Heather are cousins. And so they have each other's backs. And it's like, I feel like, it's funny because I feel like I couldn't be more dissimilar from Heather and Whitney, but like on a human level, I just like relate to their emotions. Yeah,
I actually like feel for Heather because I feel like, and I don't know like the Salt Lake City social scene, but I feel like Lisa's like a cool mean girl, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Heather just wants like to be acknowledged, and like she literally can't even get that from Lisa. Like I think Lisa's like the definition, like I know who Lisa is. I can't explain it. Like, you know, girls like that, especially when they talk about like that kind of judgmental vibe that she gives off to people, like, cause she's like a good Mormon and like maybe Whitney's not or Heather's not. And you know, people like that, there's people like that in all religions who like are like sanctimonious because they're, you know, observing more than you. And it's like, it's so, and it goes against like everything in the religion, like you being a bitch. Like I know that vibe so well. So like, I actually really feel for Heather and Whitney, and I'm 100% on their side.
Yeah. And also Lisa, like her way of arguing is like when the whole thing happened with the bar at the wedding vow renewal, she was like, well, I'm a generous person. Like I'm done with this. It's like, just because you say it, like, like you still have to deal with it. She was like she was just like at the table, just like trying to tell us who she is, but just show us.
So true.
You know?
So true. Mary in the beginning of the episode was really fucking bothering me.
I love Mary.
That's so funny. I don't. And I feel like people love her. She's bothering me so much. Like she's just a like really, I don't know what the word is, but like.
Eccentric.
Sure.
I hear what you're saying. Like, but I like her because I've never seen anyone like her on television before. Like, and I just find that interesting. Even the way she was, like, obviously her personal life is very interesting.
Very.
Well, we haven't even scratch the surface of that, but even the way she was participating in the dinner fight,
well, that's
of like chiming in, like Jen Shah did not say one thing.
I know,
an interesting tactic to take. Mary was like chiming in, just trying to like glaze over.
She was
like,
being funny.
She's funny.
So
and
that's what I was gonna
I
say.
I just like her energy because it's different.
At the beginning of the episode, when she's like going nuts with Jen Shah, and she's like in Jen Shah's bedroom, just like apologize. Like she was really bothering me there with her crazy dress, but she looked fabulous at the ski slope. She was probably best dressed. And then she, her little commentary during the dinner that like didn't really involve her, I thought she was very funny. So
yeah,
I can't get a read on her. I feel like there's many sides to Mary.
But I like that. I don't want someone who's just like a textbook housewife who I like can read in 5 minutes and I know how you're gonna act.
Yeah. Also, I think Whitney's dad is like a pajama, and like I actually feel bad for him.
Yeah, and I think she's so sweet about the whole thing.
She's a really nice girl, and I also think it was so nice of Mary to invite
them to her church.
And I'm really liking the show. I'm really liking like learning about like the subculture that is Mormonism, even though like from what I've seen from like people on social media who are Mormon or who live in Utah, or even like Heather on Watch Trap and Zive last night, like she said like the people in Utah are like really excited about Housewives. Like they're really just like jazzed to be included. But like the people in the Mormon church, like don't think that, like especially her ex-husband, who's like a big deal in the church, like doesn't think that this is the way like the mother of his children like should be behaving, even though like she's acting nicely.
I agree. We saw Heather's house.
Yes, even though I got a couple DMs that she lives in Park City, where like in Park City proper, where you can't film. So it might be like a fake staged rental house.
Oh, that's
on
so
the outside.
Also, have you seen this drama? I guess it's drama that Jen Shah rents her house. Shah
People
Chalet.
Are so fucking annoying.
No, like, I don't even think that's so like dramatic, but apparently.
I rent, so what?
No, but apparently, like, it got out there and, like, she's, like, so offended that it's out. Like, there is some drama.
Interesting. I didn't see that, but that is definitely something good to know.
Yeah. Also, I think you're talking about, in terms of, like, the Mormon community and how they feel about it, stories from Rachel Parcell.
Oh, who, by the way, like...
So everyone sent us her stories to watch because she commented on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and how they don't have even one active in the church Mormon on the show. And so they're not even, and she actually said that the term Mormon is actually like a derogatory term. And
no, that's Mormonism.
Not, and that's not how they refer to themselves.
I have recently fallen in love with Rachel Parcell. Yeah. Like, I know she's a blogger who's like literally been the first blogger ever. And like, I'm late to the game, but Olivia sent me her stories and was like, watch this about Salt Lake City Housewives. And something about like the shirt that she was wearing and like the breast milk on her shirt and just like her being like a mom, like, and just like doing it all. Like, I like fell in love with her. I'm like obsessed with her. Her content is like so premium. And like, I just want to live in Utah and have her husband's company like build me a house on a mountain. Like, I'm obsessed.
No, 100%. And not only is like,
did you follow her?
So, yes, I followed her. Me she's too. So interesting. Then she has three sisters mm-hmm. who also influence. And I was just like, I had heard of them before, but I never like fell down the rabbit hole.
Right.
I'm down the rabbit hole.
No, me too. And it's just like this life, like whatever presets no, she's
it's
using.
It's a fucking
like,
dream.
No, I know. Like, I'm obsessed. But I thought her stories were super interesting too. And honestly, just part of me is like feels bad for Mormons. Like, not that they need my sympathy or anything, but I just feel like every time they're portrayed and like have representation in like movies or TV shows, like it's just bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the solution is to actually have an active
But I don't
Mormon.
Know if you can.
Yeah. So that's why they don't get to portray themselves in movies and TV shows. And so it's just based
Heather
on conjecture.
Said that it's very, she's not excommunicated from the church yet. That's what she said. But it's very possible by the end of the season, like she will be.
Interesting.
She's like on the fringe. She like does her own thing, but like still, I think it's technically part. But I don't think she's like devout.
Got it. Well, it's shaping up to be really good because there's so many different elements. I love the
so
fact that they
Meredith
went.
Meredith is Jewish?
Yes.
Like actively Jewish.
Actively
and
Jewish.
And Lisa was.
Was born Jewish but converted.
Okay.
I love that they went skiing. Like,
me too.
What a fun.
You know, it kind of made me want to go skiing.
I know,
and
but
I
also
never...
like the torture of the bags and the skis. I was like, my arms hurt already.
No,
just
I
watching
know.
This.
I know that feeling like of hiking up with all your shit.
Yeah, but they were so fabulous on the mountain. Like, Whitney and Heather and Meredith are insane skiers.
No, I know. It, like, kind of made me want to learn how to ski. But then I remember the one time I did, like, my shins were broken.
Oh, yeah. It'll kill your shins. But yeah. No, now we have to go skiing.
I kind of want
to
go snowboarding. You think I would be good at it?
I think snowboarding, from what I've heard, it's easier to learn snowboarding, but, like, harder to master.
Well, because, like, the thing with skiing is, like, the two poles, the two skis clanging into each other. It's, like, so much equipment where it's, like, one big snowboard. Like, that seems easier to me. I don't know. I think maybe I should try it.
Okay, we've got to take a trip.
We've got, no, every time I watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I'm like, why am I not in Utah?
Yeah.
I really am enjoying it so much.
It's really well done. They have a really great group of women, and I'm completely here for it. Like, I look forward to it.
Me too.
It's a treat. It's a sweet treat at the end of a long day.
Speaking of things I'm not looking forward to, yes, is Real Housewives of Orange County. And I think we should talk about Real Housewives of Orange County before we do the recap. Like,
and its place on this show.
Yeah. I feel as though we tried, and I really don't want to reward bad content with my time and my viewership and my platform.
And it's not even that. Like, now we have Salt Lake City. It's another thing to add to the content plate. And I think that something has to be taken off the plate. My plate runneth over.
My plate runneth over. I agree. And I think at one point in my life, like, I could be the girl who watched all the franchises, and I don't think I can be that girl anymore. Like, I have a son.
I don't sense that, like, Stanhood obsession of Orange County from the Toasters. If we did, we'd be not saying this.
No, and actually that reminded me, because there are a lot of people who listen to our recaps but like don't necessarily watch Housewives because it's so intimidating to get into. And I really recommend everyone starts with Salt Lake City because there's only two episodes and you could start at the ground floor with us and you can keep up with the recaps, and it's actually very good.
Yeah, so we can recap last night's episode of OC, but
I think moving forward, I think I'm out.
I think moving forward, it is an optional viewing. If you happen to watch it, you want to talk about it, fine. But like, I was revolving my night around it last night, and it was just not deserving of that.
Agreed. And you know, last week I really only had one thing to contribute to the OC recap, which was that I thought the scene in Bronwyn's bedroom with her son trying out drag was like really inspirational and like a great message to send. And funnily enough, I think the only scene worth rehashing on last night's episode was the scene where her son went ballistic at the vow renewal and said like the craziest shit when he was asked to speak.
It was so inappropriate and uncomfortable and unnecessary. And I just know
there are certain kids who were raised a certain way who know, like, if you ever said something like that in public, like, you were getting fucking slapped back home. Like, I don't know what came over him, like, to say such a bizarre thing twice.
Yeah, two bizarre things.
Two bizarre things. It was so weird.
It was so weird. I agree.
The trip, actually, that hotel looked super nice. And, like, I actually really wanted to, like, be in Palm Springs.
Yeah, it looked all right. I don't know. It looked like torture, like drive up, yeah. Weddings that night.
The coronavirus like element of it all is like, I just don't want it.
No, like, it's like it's sneaking in and I'm not going back there. Like, honestly, I'm not watching.
No, I'm not going back there. Like, I know that they were the first franchise to like film with masks and like I'm triggered by it, like to a really dark time in my life.
Oh, and also, and I think this just like sent me, the fact that Shannon Storms Bedore is freaking out over Kelly saying that she's starting a waterline as opposed to a tincture. No,
it's so
no,
it's so irrelevant.
She went so ham, like talking at the ceremony, talking yeah. after the ceremony, like she's so upset by it. And it's like, no,
it's really not that big of a deal. And I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm sorry. I really like Kelly Dodd. She's one of the reasons like I still watch the show. Like, she is funny. Like, and I know everyone thought she was being insensitive to Bronwyn, but making the comparison of not having sugar at your wedding because you're diabetic was actually funny. Like,
no, I really like Kelly Dodd. No. I like, again, she's someone you don't see very often. She has absolutely no filter. She is like so offensive, mm-hmm. so unapologetic, and it is so interesting to watch.
And you know, I actually feel like she's come a long way because she used to say the craziest shit, and now it's like Kelly's unfiltered. She's making jokes about like alcohol and diabetes, and it's like, that's nothing. That's like a 3 on the Kelly Dodd scale. She used to be wild. She really has, and I know no one gives her credit because she's still unfiltered, but she has tamed herself quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I think it's hysterical. And like everyone was going to drink tequila that weekend, and Kelly Dodd's the only one who's going to own, like who's going to walk in the door with it. Like,
it turns out Shannon on Watch Happens Live, Andy said he's literally never seen a funnier episode than next week. Shannon storms the door at this reception, is blacked out. Like, she said she doesn't remember anything.
That's so weird.
So it's like, you were the one saying that Kelly's insensitive, yet you're the one who drank all the tequila.
Right. She's at running back like, to her Kelly's room. Kelly's like being upfront about it, and I don't hate her.
Like, no, I don't hate her either, but I feel like I should, you know? Still stan Emily till the day I die, and Gina, I just can't with. Another thing about Bronwyn, I feel like last season I felt this way. She's brand new. She's bringing all of her family drama on the show. It's not interesting, even if it's someone I like love and have known for years, but especially on your first season, like I really don't care. And I feel like now this season, everything is just so heavy with her, like the alcoholism and the sobriety, and it's a lot. And then it's like, again with the mom, like, and I can't care. Everyone's family has drama, and it's like, we're busy worrying about our own family drama. I can't care about Bronwyn's.
No,
so it's like that. It's like everything she's doing is so heavy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't care about like the mom. Her insults.
Like, and that weird house. Like, I don't care.
Well, actually, the story behind that was like kind of interesting. Yeah. But again, I don't care. And like Bronwyn's mom like wearing a necklace that's like, be kind. And then she's like being so fucking mean to her daughter.
No, she's really nasty. Like, and yeah. By the way, and I agree, like, If that, like, I understand Bronwyn wanting to talk about it. Like, she's traumatized by her mother. Her mom telling Tamara that Bronwyn was sober before, like, Bronwyn got to tell anyone is one of the most fucked up things ever. Like, her mom is awful, but, like, I still don't care.
No, and, like, Bronwyn should stop filming with her. Like, stop making her a part of the mix. She would have never met Tamara.
I thought the same thing.
Like, just remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah, but, like, she's driving to her house and putting her on camera. Like, she only fuels the Dr. Deb machine.
Yeah.
But I really have nothing else to say.
And I do think in this instance, a vow renewal is not a curse for the two of them. One, because they've already renewed their vows before. And two, because like they are soulmates in every sense.
They really
of the
are
word.
In the most annoying way.
And their family with all of their kids like is just so cute. They really remind me of like Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know?
So yeah, this might be our last OC.
Recap, let us know. Like if there's like so much like support and outpouring asking
of
us
love.
To continue, like I would be open to it. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. And I'm just so over it. And like, sometimes you have to take care of yourself. And sometimes that involves not watching Real Housewives of Orange County.
Amen.
So that's our episode. We'll be back tomorrow for our final episode of the week. And our merch drop, reminder, our merch, holiday, new collections, phone cases, mugs, sweatshirts, zip-ups, sweaters, whatever. All available on shopmorningtoast.com tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. So we will post all of the items on our Instagram. Make sure you're following us on The Morning Toast. And that's all we got.
That's all we got. Also, next week we are off the Monday through Friday, the week of Thanksgiving. But if you want more content from us, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be doing podcast-only episodes for our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMorningToast. So head over there, subscribe. You also get access to all the episodes we've done previously. It's just a really premium place. And that's where you can hear from us if you'll be feeling RDH that we are OFF.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. Stay safe, and we will see you tomorrow for Friday.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.